Matthew, if you want to go to chapter 5, that is where we're going to be today. We started a new series last week called Sermon on the Mount, and it is the most preached sermon in the world. It's the most famous sermon in the world, and it contains Jesus' teaching specifically in Matthew 5 through 7. So this is either one sermon by Jesus or one compilation of several different teachings, and as a whole it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And so last week I started the Sermon on the Mount with the phrase or the teaching that said that the poor in spirit are blessed because they shall have the kingdom of heaven. And I talked to you a little bit about oxymorons, and I gave you a few last week. Let me give you a few more. How about genuine imitation? A genuine imitation. Some of you have genuine imitation leather, right? How about your only choice? That's not exactly a choice if it's the only one you can do. What about freezer burnt? How can it be burnt if it's in the freezer? Maybe some of you have gotten a contractor to give you an exact estimate. What about a working vacation? Maybe you go on vacation, but you bring your computer. It's a working vacation. Those aren't really compatible. And maybe some of you have gotten a ticket for a rolling stop, where you don't exactly stop. You just kind of slow down at a stop sign, and you go through. And so these are oxymorons. These are two statements or two words that are put together that are antithetical to one another. They are opposites, if you will, and it doesn't make sense together if you really think about it. And the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount, these several sayings here, the first part of Matthew chapter 5, seem to be oxymorons. And if you really break them down and you really spend time looking at them and trying to understand what Jesus is saying, you come to the conclusion that they do actually make sense. Today's beatitude or topic is about those who mourn. Those who mourn. And so what I want us to get out of this and what I want us to understand is that unless you are mournful, comfort cannot come. Unless you are mournful, you will not be comforted. If you are comforted, then you have to be comforted from something. So you've got to start with being mournful. And what I want us to do is to recognize the seriousness of our sin. And when we recognize that, this beatitude or this saying from Jesus will make a whole lot of sense. Today's verse, Our sermon text, is one verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says this: those who mourn are blessed, for they will be comforted. Those who mourn are blessed, for they will be comforted. There's two things I want us to grab out of this. The first thing is this: it's the need to mourn. There is a need for us to mourn. Our world considers this statement, or a statement like this, utterly ridiculous. Blessed are the mourners. Blessed are those who mourn. That is crazy talk, if you really think about it. We do everything we can not to mourn. Right? We don't want to mourn. We don't look forward to mourning. We try to eradicate mourning from our lives, and we just want to avoid it. To give you some examples, we don't talk about people maybe who have died. Because if we do, then it's going to bring back some feelings and some emotions, and you don't want to deal with that. And so we just ignore it. In our life specifically recently, we had a pet dog that got really close to a truck, a little too close, and died. And so we told the kids, and there was lots and lots of crying. They mourned Kuyon, and they cried. Danielle cried with them. Yes, we named our dog Kuyon because he's Kuyon. And so Danielle's like, we got to get another one. And I was like, wait. Number one, I'm not real fond of dogs. Number two, I didn't tell her this, but part of the reason why I wanted to wait a little while was because our boys need to learn how to mourn. They need to begin to go through that process and go through those feelings and begin to understand that death is actually part of life. And so most of us, though, we hurry up and we would go buy a pet and replace it and say, forget about the other one. Here's a new one. Let's not mourn. And so I bought them a dog and brought it home Friday. But I'm the one picked out this dog, so he's going to be okay. And so we don't want to mourn. We just want to replace things. We want to ignore them. We don't want those things in our lives. Matter of fact, you will go to the doctor so that you don't die because you don't want people around you to mourn. And mourning is just, it's crazy thoughts. It's an idea. And the thing is this, sorrow, the sorrow that Jesus is speaking about is not from the death of a loved one. It's not caused by death, but by spiritual, but it's a spiritual mourning. It's not the death of a loved one. It's not the death of a pet. It's not the death of an idea. It's not the death of a career. It is spiritual mourning. And just like poverty of spirit we talked about last week is not financial, it is spiritual. So is this mourning that we have in this text. So mourning, in reality, builds upon the idea of spiritual poverty. Last week, we did spiritual poverty. You looked at that text. We talked through that text. We described and understood what spiritual poverty is. And once you understand spiritual poverty, then you can begin to understand mourning. And that's what Jesus does. He compounds the idea of spiritual poverty and then begins to talk about mourning. And just like those who are spiritually indebted or spiritually depraved or spiritually in poverty should be congratulated. That's the idea behind this word blessed. This really means congratulations to you. So congratulations to you if you are poor in spirit because you will inherit the kingdom of God. Congratulations to you if you are mourning because you will be comforted. The problem, however, is that we in the church don't think we need to mourn. The idea of mourning has gone out of the church. We don't need to mourn. We act like we've got it all together. We've got no problems. This week when I was reading and trying to get ready for today, I came across a sermon that was preached by Martin Lloyd-Jones. And Martin Lloyd-Jones was an Englishman, died last century, but still was a pretty prolific speaker and wrote a lot, and a lot of his sermons have been written down. And so I was reading through one of his sermons, and this is what he had to say about the church. He said this. He said, to me, there is nothing more tragic or short-sighted or lacking in insight than the assumption which is made by so many that the church herself is all right and all she has to do is to evangelize the world outside. Let me say that again. To me, there is nothing more tragic or short-sighted or lacking in insight than the assumption made by many that the church herself is all right and all she has to do is evangelize the world outside. So what is he saying? Why did this quote grab me? What he's saying is this. He said, most of us in the church, we've grabbed a hold to the idea that we're saved and we're okay. My sins are forgiven and it's over. Now, if we just go evangelize the rest of the world, everything will be hunky-dory. But in reality, if you look in the church, you begin to look at people's lives and hear their stories and watch their actions and listen to their words, you realize that church people are not all right. Yes, they may be saved. Yes, they may have repented and accepted Christ as their Savior, but there's a glorious lack of concept of what it means to be forgiven and what it means to continue to walk in faith. And so Lloyd-Jones says, the church has come to the conclusion that she doesn't need to mourn for her sins. She just needs to evangelize everybody else. And the problem is, there's mourning that needs to go on inside the church. So much so that the world will not mourn until the church begins to mourn herself. I think he's right. Instead of mourning, though, the church has this false sense of piety, of I've got it all together. I've got grace. And we cheapen grace and we live lives the way we want to live them. We live like hell all week and we come to church Sunday and say, I love Jesus, we sing, we give, we may go to Sunday school, we listen to a sermon, and we walk out and say, everything's good, let's do it again next week. And the sermon, the text of the sermon doesn't impact us, it doesn't change the way we live, it doesn't change our thoughts. We don't deal with the sin that we live with every day of the week. And we begin to get calloused and we don't care. Just as long as we have gone to church, just as long as we've maybe walked down the aisle, just as long as we've go to Sunday school class, just as long as we're doing a few things that are considered spiritual by others, we have this false sense of piety where God has to love me. And we've cheapened grace so that we say, God, I'll take your grace. Let me give you more sin. And we want to sin more and more so that we can have more grace. Paul deals with this in Galatians. He makes this statement, hey, should you sin more so you can have more grace? And then he says, no. You don't sin more so you can have more grace. You get saved, you get changed, you have a relationship with Jesus, and you begin living a life that reflects that relationship. And when you sin, and you recognize the poverty of your sin, the poverty of your spirit, you begin to mourn. You begin to have sorrow. You begin maybe even to cry. When was the last time you had real sorrow over your sin? When was the last time you had real sorrow? Not just, oh God, I'm sorry I sinned, but real sorrow where it made you stop and really think about what you've done and about who you are and the decisions that you make. When was the last time you cried over your sin? Now, I know as guys, we don't cry very often. It's just not cool. But when was the last time you really thought of how your sin affected you and affected others around you and really began to mourn? Last week, I brought up Isaiah in chapter 6. And talked about how Isaiah is in the throne room and he sees the glory and the holiness and the awe of God. And he recognizes how much in poverty of spirit he is. He recognizes how much he does not belong there. He understands God's holiness and he recognizes his sinfulness. And he begins to mourn. And he says, woe is me. Woe am I, which means translated, uh-oh, I don't belong here. And he begins to mourn. And he begins to have sorrow. And you know what the response is? He says, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a man of I come from unclean people. And he looks at himself and he compares his sinfulness to the holiness of God. And he recognizes that those two are not compatible. And he recognizes the danger he's in. And he says, I don't have clean lips. And he begins to confess his sin. And then an angel comes and he grabs a piece of coal and he touches his lips. And his sin is gone. I think that is a picture of what it means to mourn and to be comforted. To mourn and to be comforted. He recognizes his sins. He recognizes his actions. And he says, I need help. And he confesses his sins and God cleanses him. Paul goes through this same type feelings. In the book of Romans chapter 7, if you go to verse 18 and go through verse 25, it says this, Paul speaking. And it's something that we often struggle with ourselves. He says, for I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my flesh. So you say, nothing good is in me. Nothing of my own desires, nothing of my own wants or good. Now this is like the super apostle. He had a cape and everything. He said, for the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. So my spirit wants to do good, but my flesh is not exactly carrying it out. Verse 19 says, for I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now, if I do what I do want, I am no longer the one doing it, but the sin that lives in me. So I discover this principle. When I want to do good, evil is with me. For in my inner self, I joyfully agree with God's law. But I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. What he's saying is this. I'm conflicted. My heart wants to do something. My heart wants to do what God wants me to do. My heart wants to be holy. My heart wants to be pious. My heart wants to do the things that God has called me to do. He said, but there's this other part of me, he calls it the flesh, that wants to fulfill its own desires. And there's this war that wages in me. And this is the part of the verse, or the section of the verses I want you to get. That Paul comes to the conclusion that this war is something that is within him, and it is holding him back, and it's something that he has to overcome. But he says this in verse 24. What a wretched man that I am. What a wretched man that I am. He's not saying, oh, I'm bad, so poor me. I'm wretched. Who will rescue me from this dying body? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself am a slave to the law of God, but in my flesh, to the law of sin. What a wretched man that I am. Paul is beginning to understand and beginning to articulate that concept of mourning. We all need to mourn. When's the last time you had an inventory of your life and said, what a wretched person I am compared to God? Who's going to save me? Only Jesus Christ. I'll give you an idea of what mourning is not. Mourning is not just recognizing sin in your life. Mourning is not just saying, I'm a sinner. Mourning is not just feeling bad about it. Man, I wish I didn't sin. Wish I wouldn't have said that to my mom. Wish I wouldn't have said that to the lady at Walmart. I feel bad. It's not just confessing or admitting. I cussed out the woman in line because she had too many items at the express lane. Or the person jetted out in front of me and I told him he was number one. Don't act like y'all don't do it. It's not just confessing, not just admitting I sinned. It's not just saying, hey, Mr. Police Officer, I was going 72 in a 55. It's not just admitting it. It's taking a step and not just saying that you did it wrong, but saying, yeah, officer, you know what? I was going 72 in a 55, and I'm really sorry. I recognize I could have hurt someone, could have hurt myself. This kid would have came out on the street, I could have killed him. And I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it anymore. There's a difference between mourning and admitting. So what do we do? Or what happens when you do mourn your sin, when you've recognized what a wretched man or what a wretched woman that you are, well, you have the promise of comfort. You have the promise of comfort. Notice what he says in the second part of the verse. He says, those who mourn are blessed because you will be comforted. You will be comforted. When you mourn, you'll be comforted. The one who truly mourns over your sinful state and really understands what a wretched man you are, understands your condition, understands what's going on, and you say, I cannot, I will not live like that anymore. By the power of Christ, who is the only one who can deliver me, I'm going to live another way. There's mourning, there's a change, and then there's comfort. It's says, you don't have to live that way anymore. You can live in a way that is pleasing to God. When you see your utter sinfulness and you look at your Savior and recognize He's Jesus Christ and it's not yourself. But you need to understand this. You cannot have Jesus as your personal Savior and your Redeemer unless you've mourned. You cannot have Him as your Savior or your Redeemer unless you have mourned and repented and changed your actions. Because when you really mourn, then you can be comforted with the grace of God, with the salvation He has. And without mourning, without sorrow, there is no joy. Without sorrow, there is no joy. You may rationalize your sin and feel better about it, but you don't really have joy. We only have one conversion, meaning we only get saved once. You only need to get saved once. But you need to go through life and have these periods of mourning and comfort. Mourning and comfort. Mourning and comfort. Recognizing your sin and how it affects you in your relationship with Christ, your relationship with your family, the relationship with your church, and you should mourn that. Really repent that and go on in grace and in comfort. What happens, though, if you don't mourn? What happens if you just say, you know what, I'm good. Yeah, I messed up a few times. It doesn't matter. What happens to the people that are around us who don't mourn when they just, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to walk the way I want to walk. I'm going to live the way I want to live. You have a responsibility, and I have a responsibility to tell them about what God has done. He has revealed Himself to us in His Word. And He has said, unless you mourn, you cannot be comforted. And He says, and when you mourn, you will be comforted. In Luke chapter 6, verse 25, it goes like this. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you who are now laughing, for you will mourn and weep. You've got a choice. Do you mourn now and have comfort, or do you laugh now and eventually mourn and weep? Let me encourage you to look inside yourself. Have a conversation with God about the sin that just eats your lunch day after day after day. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it is just hatred of a family member or your neighbor or the person you work with. Maybe it is a hatred of a person of a different color just because they look different. That is all sin. I encourage you to think about it, to dwell on it, to have sorrow so that you could find deliverance. We mourn because we know that our sin grieves God. But we rejoice in His salvation and forgiveness. Don't cheapen the grace of God by just saying, I'm saved, I can do whatever I want. God has saved you to do good works. He saved you so that you could live a certain way that brings him honor and glory. And unless we mourn from time to time within the church and recognize the sin that we have, how can we reach a world that looks at us and says, you're worse than I am? As Drake plays, I invite you to stand, spend some time with God. If you want to pray with me, I would love to pray with you. If you want to pray with somebody else, grab them and spend some time. The altar's open. If you want to grab me after church and talk, we could do that. But I pray that this week you really mourn over your sin. I pray today that you really mourn over your sin and you recognize, really recognize how much it grieves God and how much your relationship with him can be better when you have sorrow and you find his comfort. God, we thank you that you are a God who brings comfort when we mourn. Father, I pray that we would look within ourselves, that we wouldn't lie to ourselves, we wouldn't just rush over it, that we wouldn't rationalize our sin, but that we would really mourn over it, and that our mourning would lead us to ask for forgiveness, and that we would find the comfort in you. In your name we pray. Amen.